freaky thing, because I'm normally like, nah, girl, I'm not reading it. And I'm like, do you want me to read it? And you're like, yeah, girl. So let me bring this up real quick. So the fact that I'm about to leave from the trip that you just got back from in July and you just unpacked today makes me think of, oh, I better start packing today.
Mm-hmm. And somewhere in there, I talk about my stuff not being unpacked.
And you literally just unpacked it. Yeah. Because I was looking for a shirt that I've been missing since the wedding.
That shirt you wanted is...
That is so funny. All right, so are you ready for our missing Monday that you could not spill out?
I am ready to hear it because it was definitely not coming out my lips. I was like, bleh, 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 bleh.
It was just a, as Kale says from Teen Mom 2, word diarrhea.
It was word vomit, for sure.
But she don't say word vomit. She says it's word diarrhea.
I mean, it was.
And I'm like, that is gross, but the fact that it just suited you right now.
It truly was, because I was just like, bleh, bleh. And then I'm like, yeah, we're going to have to edit that out. I'm like, bleh, 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 bleh. We're going to have to edit that out.
All right, do you want me to do it? And she's like, yep. I'm like, start it over. So, here we go. Take two, one for you. Alright, so this story is about Jennifer Joyce Cassie, was born on May 20th, 1981. After moving as a young child, she grew up in Tampa, Florida, with her mother Joyce, dad Drew, and her younger brother Logan. Jennifer attended the University of Central Florida in Orlando and graduated in 2003 with a degree in finance. At the time that she disappeared in 2006, she was working as a finance manager for the timeshare company. The weekend before she went missing, she went on vacation with her boyfriend, Rob Allen, to the Virgin Islands. The two returned on Sunday. She stayed the night at his house, then drove straight to work the next morning. A long-distance relationship, he lived 3 hours away. That is nothing. I know that was notes.
I was about to say, that is not supposed to be read like that. That was like notes for me to say, like, they were in a long-distance relationship.
Okay, but yeah, I know. But I'm reading it as, that's a long-distance relationship 3 hours away. That is not long-distance to me.
That is a long-distance.
When you used to doing 12-hour drives, that's a long-distance.
I wouldn't have done it. So I'm so glad that you and Keenan done it, and more power to you, but I couldn't have done it.
Well, you couldn't even do 30 minutes.
I know. Let's good be thing fair. That Anthony has only lived maybe 10 minutes away from me. Because, I mean, neither one of us, granted, would have ever worked if we lived 13 hours away from each other.
Wow.
Because we don't drive.
Well, most of the time I flew. And then we started driving. While Jennifer was on vacation, her brother Logan stayed at her condo place. Why didn't you just say it? Her stayed at her condo. Why did it have to be her condo place?
I don't know. I think I was probably going to say, like, he stayed at her place.
And then added condo in it?
Yeah. Because they made a big deal about it being a condo. And I'm like, hold your brakes, people. It's a condo. Like, I don't know if a condo is some big fancy thing. Because we don't really have condos around here. We have apartments and a few townhouses. But they made out that a condo was like...
a big deal.
A big deal. Like, it was her house. Like,
it is. A condo is like an apartment you buy.
Oh, well, see, that's why they made it a big deal, I guess. Because I'm like, ooh, I've had a few apartments. But if it's legit like a house mortgage and not like...
rent?
Yeah, rent. Then yeah, props to the girl.
Right? Logan invited some friends over to her place. One of them was Travis, in case you didn't know, which I know you already knew, but they don't know. It was Logan's best friend.
His bestie.
And Matt, which is Logan's friend and Jennifer's ex.
Mm.
Awkward.
Very awkward. I feel like if you invited one of my exes to my house while I was gone, and, you know, I'm not going to say his name, but we know which one it would probably be.
The one that's always been like a brother to me.
Yeah. I would be like, even though, like, you know, I know y'all are cool, but I'd be like, oh no, girl, don't you be inviting him to my house. That's just weird.
That is weird.
I just feel like
it regardless is weird.
You shouldn't be inviting your sister's ex to her place.
Right.
When she's not there. Y'all can stay friends. Y'all can have y'all's bromance. But don't be inviting them over to their place. That's just crossing the line.
All right. Anyways.
Side rant over.
Monday, January 23rd, 2006, around 6 p.m., Jennifer left work as normal. She said goodnight to her coworkers, and then they got in the car and drove home. Jennifer called her parents and her brother to tell them about her trip. They said she seemed happy and everything was perfectly normal. While on the phone with Logan, he tells Jennifer that Travis left his phone at her condo over the weekend. So not only did he invite the ex, he left his phone.
No, it was the other friend. Matt was the boyfriend.
Oh, ex. Okay.
You know. And it was his work phone. Because I was, at first, I was just like, why? Because you skipped the work part. Because I was just like, does that not say work in that part?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, later on, I say it's work phone, I guess. But I was just like, how in the world is somebody going to forget their phone? Nope. I mean, everybody's phones are attached to their hands. They're not going to forget. But if it's a work phone and you ain't using it, then yeah.
Right.
It's understandable. Go on.
I feel like we rant so much more while I read.
Well, because all the stuff that I don't put in my notes, because they're all kind of like little short notes, I gotta add in, because whenever I read, I remember this stuff, and then I'm like, oh, da, 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 da. You never know that it's not in my notes, but it's just like coming to me as I'm reading.
Okay.
So whenever you're reading it, I have to chime in on my little side notes that I didn't include in my notes.
As I was saying, Logan tells Jennifer that Travis left his work phone at her condo over the weekend. Jennifer said she'll mail Travis's cell phone from her work mailroom tomorrow because they had UPS on the site. So she called Travis and arranged the details. Also, Jennifer called a good friend named Lauren to tell her about her trip.
Look, we made it through the first page.
More than you did. Then, the last call she made was to Rob, her boyfriend, at exactly, not approximately, 9:57 p.m. from her landline because her condo got bad reception everywhere except the balcony. Rob said Jennifer was tired from her trip and was laying in bed when they were on the phone.
She must have AT&T.
They all have their spots, so.
I know, I'm just saying, because we have, AT&T is the greatest phone service ever. But, you know, like, mom's house in certain places, it's just like.
There's no cell phone tower.
Would be nice if you could pick up, but you don't have service. Okay.
Rob said they had a disagreement on the call, but it was normal. Like any husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend disagreement they may have had. After she gets up and ready between 7:30 and 7:45 a.m., she would walk out to the parking lot and get into her car to start her drive to work. Jennifer also has a habit, just like me, of calling Rob. So you call Rob. That's awkward.
Oh, yes. I'm like, hey, babe, what's up?
I'm sure Anthony gets very jealous of Rob.
He does. He's like, hold up, chick. Don't be calling Rob. I'm like, yeah, but I gotta call my boo.
Soon as that's your part.
This is what I would be saying in the notes I had.
You didn't put a parenthesis until third shift life.
Okay, no. But you can't say you're not supposed to read that when
it's not in parentheses.
Well, this is before we knew you was reading it, Miss Thang.
Well.
But anyways, what the note says is, she had a routine like I have a routine. Every morning when I get off work, because I work third shift, I call Anthony on my way home from work. And I just complain about my work shift and blah, 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 blah. And how tired I am and da, 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 da. And so on and so on. But if I do not call Anthony by like 7:15 or if I haven't texted him, I'll get a text message saying, like, hey, what's up? What you doing? Because he knows by, like, no later than, like, 7:05, I should be walking out the door getting in my Jeep.
Gotcha.
Like, certain days, it's a little bit later than others. But he knows, you know, kind of like my routine of when I should be getting off. So if I haven't texted him and say, hey, I'm running a little later. Hey, I'll call you in a couple minutes. I'll get a text message. So that was my little note right there.
And you were saying he wasn't protective.
I mean, I didn't say he's not protective.
No, remember the other episode?
No, I said in that one is I'm one to freak out more. Because that kid was missing. And Anthony is one to where he's not going to freak out and go to worst case until there's, like, evidence to prove worst case.
Gotcha.
Where I'm like, you ain't picked up your phone and I've called you 2 times. Are you dead in a ditch? Where Anthony's like, oh, well, their battery must be dead. Like, phone battery. Like, I'm like, you dead. You dead. Like, let's play at a funeral. And Anthony's like, no, they just don't have service or their phone's dead. No, I'm just like, you're legit dead.
I'm worst case.
Anthony's like, I'm not worst case until I have evidence to prove, like, something doom and gloom where I'm, like, straight doom and gloom.
No, we'll do something or whatever, and I'm like, oh, we'll be in the car, and I'm like, well, we got a blah, 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 blah. I don't even remember what it is, or I don't know. And Keenan's like, why do you always think the worst? Like, we're going to wreck, and I'm like, you never know.
Yeah,
you got to be precautious.
I go straight doom, gloom, and then Anthony's like, all positive and rainbows until doom gloom shows evidence. So that's why I was saying for
the
Bryce, where they couldn't get a hold of him and like the mom was freaking out. I was like, Anthony would have been calm and collective, like, no, honey, everything's okay. Because there was no like proof that there was anything wrong other than, you know.
Other than we're just rambling.
15 minutes later.
Well. Every morning, Jennifer would call Rob on her way to work. On Tuesday, January 24, 2006, she never called Rob on the way to work. Rob didn't think anything of it because he was running late for work and thought she was just busy since they just got back from their vacation and she had a work meeting. So Rob tried calling Jennifer on his way to work, but it went straight to voicemail. Then after Rob's work meeting, he tried to call Jennifer again, but got her voicemail once again. At 11 a.m., Jennifer missed her work meeting. When Jennifer never showed, they tried calling her landline and cell phone, but they had no luck getting a hold of her. And this was completely out of Jennifer's character for her to be a no-show for work. But Jennifer's dad, Drew, was friends with the CFO.
And that is a such thing, because I remember we talked about this before. We're like, let me Google it. You keep reading, I'll Google it, and I'll tell you what it says.
Okay. But Jennifer's dad, Drew, was friends with the CFO where Jennifer works, and he called her dad.
Okay. It's Chief Financial Officer is what a CFO stands for. So it's a legit
Yeah, thing. In Central Florida. Orlando. You know, both. Let me tell you, I got this app where you can shop online and get cash back.
Tell me about it. I want some cash back.
Definitely.
Anthony needs cash back for all his purchases.
Yes. So definitely because of the pandemic, I'm not trying to go out, go shopping. I'm just trying to stay at home and save some
money.
Live
your best life as you shop away.
Exactly. Especially, you know how much I travel. I can get cash back from staying in hotels. If I go take a flight, like I can get cash back for things I do on a daily basis. So to me, this is amazing. It's got name brands like Target, Kohl's, Adidas, and also I was like, oh, we eating at Applebee's because I'm getting 5% back. And guess what? I swiped my card and it went straight to my app showing how much I earned.
What? So it's like
so,
instant? Like
it is instant. By the time the waitress came back to bring me my receipt, I had a notification saying I just got cash back. It's that fast. It's amazing. Once you use our code in the notes below or on our website, when you spend $25, you will instantly get $10 back.
So you're already like making money for money that you're already going to spend no matter what.
Exactly. I'm using it. If you like to save money,
then definitely check out Rakuten.
And that's Rakuten. Again, Rakuten. Check it out today. Save you some money and get some cash back.
Today's podcast is presented to you by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space, so you always know how much you're going to get when you include an ad from Podgo. Apply today and become a member and immediately be contacted with advertisers to fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. And make sure you add our podcast in the How Did You Hear About Podgo section of the application.
This conversation isn't quotable, but it's, "Hey Drew, is Jennifer okay? She didn't show up for work, and when we tried calling her, she never picked up." Her dad was like, "Let me see if I can get a hold of her." After also receiving a call from her work, Jennifer's mother, Joyce, tried calling Jennifer's condo and her cell phone and through her computer. So I'm guessing it was like an iPhone type.
I'm guessing, because that was whenever or I seen Facebook. That, I was clueless. Was Facebook even a thing this year?
I don't know. Maybe through MySpace. IM, Messenger or something, AIM. AOL.
I don't know. But whenever they said that, I was just like, did she send her email? I'm kind of confused.
I guess anything in any way.
Yeah.
But she couldn't reach Jennifer on any. Their family all had a pact, but if a family member calls you at any hour while working, sleeping, whatever, you pick up or you call right back immediately. Yeah. We don't do that.
No, we don't.
We don't do that. Now,
we're the world's worst at that.
Now, your bro called me at like 10:30 last night and I answered. But if I was sleeping, half the time I'd be like, ignore, and then I'll call back. Sorry, I was sleeping.
No, I can call my brother and I'll go to voicemail. I call him again, I'll go to voicemail. Anthony calls him first time, two rings in. "Hey, what's up?" Seriously? Like, dude, I just called you not even like 2 seconds ago. And I get the voicemail.
That's like when I call your husband.
Yeah, well, you know, the love.
No, literally, Kenan's like, "Call him." And I'm like, "He's not going to answer." He's like, "Call him." I said, "He don't like me. He's not going to answer." "Just call him." "All right." Call. One ring. "You've been sent to voicemail." And I'm like, he goes, "Oh, man, you wasn't even kidding." And I'm like, "You call him."
He pick up.
He didn't have his number, so I text him. He said, no, but here's the thing. I call him like 2 or 3 times and he keeps ignoring me. So then he texts me, "What do you want?" I'm like, "Well, I guess if you would have answered, you would have known what I wanted, huh?"
My family's like the world's worst. It's like, just text.
Or
just send a text.
You know, your sister, your other sister, I'll text her and she'll text back. "Did you call?" Yeah, if you answer. So, yeah, that's not us. Jennifer's parents then called Rob and asked if they had heard from Jennifer because she didn't show up for work and they couldn't reach her. He said, "Normally she calls in the morning, and when I've tried to text and call her, she hasn't responded. But I just thought it was because she was having a busy day at work." So at this point, Drew, Joyce, Rob are all concerned about Jennifer. Her parents decided that they are going to drive to her condo, which is about 2 hours from their house, to see if they can find her. On the way, they called the condo manager to see if her car was in her spot. The manager checks and says, "Nope, the car isn't here, and her condo doesn't look like anything is off." Well, once her parents arrived around 3-ish, they looked around and for the condo for any answers where Jennifer could be. Her suitcase was still packed from her vacation, just like we talked about earlier.
So was mine.
To be fair, mine's probably, once I get back, is going to be packed until I need those clothes. Then they saw a few outfits laid out, the bed was slept in, and they found a damp towel from where she showered that morning. The only things missing from her condo were her keys, cell phone, and purse. Logan started knocking on every door in the complex looking for Jennifer. One unit directly across from Jennifer was unfinished and unlocked. The condo was missing carpet. Did the condo actually ever have carpet?
I don't know. And I don't think it's in here because I couldn't find where I heard it from to, like, go back and put it in there. But I can't remember who exactly said it, if it was a news person, if it was a friend or family, but somebody said that somewhere they seen somebody unloading rolled up carpet in a vehicle that looked like was there. So I don't think anything was ever found or done with that, but somewhere that was said, and I couldn't go.
Well, let's see if we find more details.
There's no more details about that in there.
Well, let them find out the details.
But I couldn't find where I found the details, and I'm like, oh no, but I remember hearing that, like, in a interview somewhere that they did. Okay, go on.
Let me tell you about this condo. The condo was being remodeled from apartments to condos. So there you go. Mm-hmm. A condo is an apartment that you just pay for and not rent. A lot of the units were still vacant and under construction. So hence the one I asked, there was carpet even in there. I almost just marked my whole face blue.
Not all good.
Most of the construction workers, landscapers, and the other were undocumented immigrants. The condo gave permission for some of these employees to live on site as they were working. Jennifer made comments that she never felt comfortable around the workers because they would stare and whistle at her. At the time she had work done to her condo, she would stand at the doorway on the phone with a friend or a parent, kind of like a buddy system. When the officers came out, they didn't do too much at first and didn't take the missing case too seriously. That's a mouthful. After they showed up, they brushed it off since she had the fight with Rob. She must have left, blowing some steam off somewhere. I guess your eyes.
My eyes. My two
the
eyes.
The second biggest fail to you, they never processed her condo.
Ever. Like, to this day, like this day that you're hearing this, they have still never processed her a condo, almost an apartment.
Oh, she'd be offended. What do you mean by processed?
They never, like, went in and collected any type of evidence, looked for, like, legit searched it.
So, because they never searched her condo.
They never. Never. Never once.
After this, her family was like, we have to do something. So her family and friends were on the streets passing out flyers by 4:30. They didn't play. They got there at, what, 3? 3:30?
Yeah.
By 4:30, they're like, they already printed off flyers and everything. Holy cow. They must be, like, really good with a computer. Because it probably took me about an hour to print these four episodes off. I'm not even kidding. I mean, and they had to get a picture. They had a... put what, I mean, what they probably thought she was wearing, her height. I mean, within an hour, I mean, and that's calling the cops, figuring out stuff. They were on it. So, you want to tell us about the interview that you watched?
Okay, so another interview that I watched, it was with a news person. What would you call them? A person that works for a news company.
A news anchor?
There you go, a news anchor.
A news host?
So anyways, they received this fax, and she made a big stink about how, like, oh, it's weird to receive a fax. And it was one of the flyers that they made. And so somebody, like, went and looked up, I guess, like, searched the name, and was like, oh, well, they're not listed as a missing person. But she's like, no, I feel like this is serious. And so she said that after she seen it, she was just like, I got to go. And she's like, I don't even know if I got permission to be on this case. But she's like, I just went because in my gut, I knew this was going to be something big. And so within, you know, the first couple hours, she was out on the scene filming, like them standing out on the sides of the road, passing out the flyers and stuff. But she's just like, the cops wasn't taking this seriously. You know, she wasn't listed. But it's like, I just knew in my gut. And that probably made her...
pretty big.
Pretty big for her to be, like, one of the only people that took it serious. And she had that inside scoop that a lot of people didn't get.
Right. Later on that night, officers went back to Jennifer's condo to find 14 people inside. Her family had been using it as a base of operation for their search. Since most of their friends and family all lived out of town, her parents eventually ended up moving into the condo during the search. But I know there were tons of people in the condo. It would have been compromised, but what if someone wiped up on blood? We will never know if something could ever happen to her there. Thursday, January 26, 2006. That's Daddy's birthday. Just years later. At 8:06 a.m., a resident of Huntington on the Green Apartments called Orlando police, saying they thought Jennifer's car was in the parking lot. At 8:10, holy cow, 4 minutes? They own it.
Well, I guess they probably feel bad because they didn't take it serious day one. And they're like, oh, no, she's probably just out with a boyfriend. And now they're like, oh, we've got to get on it.
Right? 4 minutes. They were recovering Jennifer's car by law enforcement. Residents of the complex stated that the car had been parked in the lot for a few days. Here is the part I thought was pretty messed up.
What I thought was messed up.
All crime junkies know the parents and spouses are the first suspects. Well, the cops called Rob to view the car to see how he responded. So is he here? Did he came out too?
Cops called him out. Cops have not looked in the car at this time. The cops have no clue what is in this car. But they called him out to look just to see what his reaction was, if there was a body or not. Yeah.
Why are they not gonna check first?
Your guess is as good as mine. Because they thought he was a suspect, so they wanted to see his reaction.
Wow. They wanted to know what emotions he would show if they found Jennifer's body. They all surrounded her trunk of her car as one officer popped it open. Everyone was watching Rob and watching to see what was in the trunk whenever he opened it. She wasn't in there, but there were mixed emotions. Everyone was relieved she wasn't dead in the car, but concerned and worried about where she still was. What we do know from the car was her driver's seat was pushed all the way back. A DVD player was strapped into a seat. Was it her DVD player?
Mm-hmm. I think they said it was like a DVD player that Rob gave her, or she was borrowing from Rob. But they said it being strapped, it was really weird.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, did they have evidence of what it is, and they just didn't watch it?
I don't know if, like, they said something that, like, he just gave it to her, and she would have normally just placed it in the seat. The strapping it in was just kind of...
Yeah. Her phone, keys, and wallets were missing. They did find two cameras on a roof, so they went to check out these cameras. All you have to say is, horrible picture quality and look. This is a clip.
This is a video that they seen, and it's going to show, like, her car coming in. Or maybe that's the person walking. I don't know. Okay, this is the person walking. We haven't got to this part.
The sound was in the light, and it's so glitchy.
Uh-huh. Well, it's like a camera that takes, like, pictures every, like, so many seconds. Every time it takes it, they're behind the poles.
Wow.
But what I wanted you to say, look and say, what do you see? Like, what kind of person does this look like to you? Does it look like a male, a female? Like, what does it look like they're wearing?
Looks like black shoes, khaki pants, white shirt, male, white with short brown hair.
Yeah. So they cannot make out, like, anything from this because it's so... And we'll post this video on our discussion page, but it's just, like, glitchy photo, like, horrible quality. But, I mean, like, that's the picture. Has to be of the person right there. So you can just kind of see them.
So that's supposed to be the one who killed her, Miss Tucker, or?
Who, questionable, could have been in her car. And it's like, if they can figure out who this person of interest is maybe they can figure out what happened to her.
Wow.
But since they have no clue of who that person is, if it's a male or if it's a female, I personally think that it could be
a painter. Because I feel like their getup that they were wearing is like the all white shirt and pants.
I would feel like more like the carpet person.
You feel carpet?
Yeah.
See, like, I wanted you to see it in the beginning before we started talking about everything.
That's why they knew to get the carpet and roll it up so it didn't look suspicious taking out the carpet.
Yeah. So, it's, I mean, her parents feel like it was a construction worker. They said that it looked like a young individual because they look, like, really tall and skinny, like, really lanky. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
And the dad said... which I can't really make out, but the dad said it looked like the ankle was like rubber band around the shoe type thing, to where if there were a landscaper, you would do that so
it doesn't get pulled up in the
It doesn't get caught in your pants. But I feel like it was somebody doing work at the apartments.
Yeah, especially with you talking about the condo.
Oh, it's going to get a lot more juicier about the condo as you read on.
Okay, well. Officers got the K-9 units to come out and... wait, so why couldn't they take that and just search every single apartment? And see, like, whose body language looked like him?
And they only searched, and I don't think they questioned, but I know they only searched the apartments that were empty. I don't think they questioned any other residents that lived in the house. I know her brother knocked on all the doors. I don't know, like, if everybody came to the door when he, like, went around.
So when they found the car, it was at her apartment
complex? No, it was at a different place a mile down the road. And they'll kind of go more in depth.
Okay, because I was thinking that was condo, but this was apartment, yeah. But we're kind of, okay.
Oh, where her car was found was an apartment that was kind of sketchy. It was known as a bad area, like drugs and blah, blah, blah.
Officers got the K-9 units to come out and see if they could find her scent from the car. The dogs hit something and took the officer a mile back down the road to her condo, to a wooded area. They all were sure that this is where her body would be found. But all that was in the area was shoes and random clothes. They kept asking her family, was any of this Jennifer's? And her family kept saying no. So now we are going to talk about the possible theories that could have happened to her. So do you remember Matt, her ex?
Mm-hmm.
They looked into him because he hinted he wanted to get back with her. Remember, he stayed the weekend with Logan, but the night she went missing, he was at the bar across the street from her condo. I did not know that he was at the bar across from...
I'm just saying, like, he stayed the weekend in her house. And then the night she went missing, he was literally across the street drinking at a bar.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we're telling you now.
Oh, I'm like, I'm pretty sure I didn't skip that sentence. I didn't know
I'm
that.
I'm telling you now. Like, okay. I'm adding in more information now.
Okay. Then they looked into the workers at the condo. Her family told officers about the weird feelings she got. The issues was they all left because they were illegal. Over 80% of the workers were gone. Well, that's convenient.
Mm-hmm.
In 2008, one of the workers from the condo was arrested for rape. He said Jennifer would let him work on her condo, and he could lock the door for himself on the way out, which her family denies this ever would have been said. After he took a polygraph test, he passed. He was cleared. So they arrested him and then he was cleared because...
well, he got arrested for the rape. That was a side thing. But then, yeah, he didn't get charged or anything with her or looked in more because he passed the polygraph test, which polygraph tests are not usable in court. So why they're like, oh, well, you passed, so
bye. Gotcha. 3, a month before Jennifer went missing, the master key for all the condos went missing and no tenants was told. What?
Yeah, how would you feel where you live, the key that opens all those doors was missing and they never told you that the master key was gone and they never changed your locks?
Uh-uh. No. No. How did they find that out?
Keep reading.
Okay. They didn't find out until a month or so after she did. Well, a girl reached out to her parents after the fact saying someone should look into the condo manager because five girls had random people come in their homes unannounced. Oh, no, 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 no. No. When we lived in an apartment together, I feel like we got a note stating, okay. Yeah, when we lived together, we were notified.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, I couldn't exactly remember because I feel like it was forever ago.
It wasn't even that if they were coming in the house. Like, if they were going to be working on the roof or anything coming near you, you were notified.
That's what I thought. I was like, I'm not sure, but I was like, I think we got like a note in the mailbox, especially if it was like maintenance something.
Yeah, and if you put in a maintenance order, they would be like, do you give consent for them to enter? Like, no.
Just like we had the choice of being there, which I didn't really want to be there, but then it was like, you don't want to like leave your house unattended. But
right.
It's like one of those like,
I will say, those maintenance guys are pretty cool, so it's not like an awkward, like...
I mean, they were all nice up there, but it was just kind of like one of those, like, what do you do? Just, I mean, I hate when people come out here to my house to work.
Yeah. At least those, like, whenever I'd be out and about, checking mail or whatever, we could have a legit conversation.
Hey, how are you?
So, it wouldn't, like... I would never get, like, a creepy vibe, you know, so... But back to the shady managers in the office, they had a key cutting machine with blank keys sitting out in the open for everyone to see. So they made fake keys?
No, like for your, like if you got a condo there, all the keys, blank keys, were just sitting out like with their key cut machine. Kind of like if you went to Walmart and they had the key cut machine sitting on the counter, like anybody could just...
Oh, grab the master key and make a copy?
Grab and make a key, yeah.
Oh.
It wasn't, like, locked in a cabinet, and, like, the keys, I mean, the keys were sitting out, the machine was sitting out, and it would have been easy for just Joe Smo to make a key real quick. Lowe's. Yeah, but you would have to have, I mean, yeah, but if the master key's missing.
I know, I get that, I get that.
You have to have another key to copy, so it's like. Whoever stole the master key was able to make, you know?
Right, I get that. But as far as that being set out with the keys, I just think if you go to Walmart, you go to Lowe's, and they have the key cutting machine. Whether you know how to use it yourself or not, it's still out there with all the key, the blank keys around.
Yeah, but I feel like if I lived in apartments again, I wouldn't want a key cutting machine.
I get that completely.
Just being like, willy-nilly, like, come make a copy of my key because you got the master sitting right here.
Right. No, I agree. 4, they also looked at co-workers of her. She told her dad that he would always make comments and want to date her, and she couldn't get him to leave her alone. On the day she went missing, he was late for work. Huh. Huh. But he was pulled over for speeding, and no,
I think it said, I don't know where he got pulled over at, and I really wish I did, because you could triangulate, like, was he near a path where he shouldn't have been? Like, he lives here, but he was, like, way over here, you know?
Right.
I couldn't find any information of, like, he was pulled over on B Avenue.
Well, they should kind of, like, look into that.
Well, they said since he got pulled over and blah, 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 he got marked out. But did he get pulled over for speeding because he was trying to make it to work in time so it didn't look like he was being suspicious, but then he was being suspicious because he did something bad and he was trying to, you know, like, race back to work so he didn't look suspicious? I don't know if any of that made sense because I was like, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, maybe. Then at work, the first comment he made after he found out was, quote, what? Well, she's probably eaten by gators by now. Why in the world would you say that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did they check a gator pit?
I don't know. Not that I know.
Where is this even at?
In Florida.
Oh, yes, in Florida. Orlando's. Yeah. All right, Carol Baskin. That's suspicious. So the manager called officers and they looked into it a bit, but he was clear. Manager's got her back. But that's messed up. So messed up. They got a tip later on that year saying they saw a white truck with someone who looked like Jennifer pulled in a wooden area, then leaves. They went out to search the area but found nothing. So her family is super smart and resourceful. They passed out playing cards to the inmates in different jails with Jennifer's info and other missing people to see if anyone would say anything or brag about it.
I would never have thought of that.
I wouldn't either, but I wouldn't think if they were smart enough that they would admit to it in jail.
Why not? Like, they have nothing else to lose.
But what if they're trying to say that they were innocent and they're like, if you're smart and you're in jail, you're not in prison yet. So you're trying to prove that you're innocent. You're not going to brag about it. You got to think like that.
Well, I mean, like, some people will admit to stuff that they didn't do just scared. They could be like, oh yeah, I did that. So they were just hoping that somebody in there might have said something, or when they were out, they kind of like knew something that possibly could have happened, you know. And I was like, oh, hey, this person that hasn't been arrested yet, you know, said this before I got arrested, you know. So they were just kind of
throwing out there.
Yeah, trying to work any small angles that they could to bring home their daughter.
Right. I mean, I wouldn't have thought of that, but. Well, in December of 2008, an inmate named David Rose came forward with info, but will only tell it to Drew face-to-face, which is the dad.
The dad.
Weird. David was on death row for murdering a lady named Melinda.
I think it's Melinda.
They sat down, and all the information that was given to Drew was the information that he already been released to the public. Drew thinks that Jennifer is still alive and was taken for sex trafficking. I looked into this. At the time, Florida is ranked third worst for sex trafficking. And between 2006 and 2016, Orlando ranked 3. Worst city. So what do you think? So how did that guy, David, know any information?
He didn't. All he knew is what was released on the news. In papers. So he just, basically anything that he seen, I guess, like,
so
on the news.
So wait, why did he want to talk to him face to face?
Just to be a complete butthole. He had no information whatsoever. I don't know.
So what do you think? Do you think she's still alive, or?
Her family thinks she's alive and she's, you know, being sex trafficked. At first, I thought, researching this, that she was probably murdered by a construction worker. But then, after I looked into the stats of sex trafficking, because, I mean, with her state being on the top list, and
top
then
three.
It was top three for both city and state?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so her state being top, and then her city being top, I'm thinking it's possible, since they haven't found a body, that she could be being sex trafficked.
That's awful.
But to kind of get us on a better, like, palate cleanser from all this, like, sex trafficking talk, do you want to hear about our dum-dum? And it's very short, very sweet. It's another one that I sent you, and I don't think you wanted to read, but I don't know why you wouldn't want to read it, because I feel like it's funny. my eye's twitching.
I don't remember one that you sent me, but I'm sure once you tell me about it, I will remember.
Yeah, you will. It is right her. Okay, so Florida man tells neighbors that he is going to kill them with kindness. Then he legit tries to kill them with his machete that he has nicknamed Kindness.
I think you did send that to me.
So yeah,
he legit nicknamed his machete Kindness and was like, I'm gonna kill you with kindness.
That's creepy.
So, yeah. That is our
dum-dum of the day
for today. Have anything else to say before we tell them bye?
Have a great day. Stay safe. Bye. Since most of their friends and family all live out of town, her parents eventually, then they saw a few outs laid out.
Outfits.
They didn't take the missing person case seriously. I'm getting like you. About four pages in is when I'm getting to you. I know I you are really bad with parentheses. I'm just going to read it like you. They did find two cameras on the roof, so they went back and checked out the cameras. All I have to say is horrible picture quality and luck. I know I showed you this before to ask you.
Oh, no, I forgot I was going to show you this before.
That's why I'm like confused. Like, maybe this is what somebody else said. I know I showed you this before and you and asked you, what did you see before you knew anything? And you said, question mark.
This is where you're supposed to say what you said, but we totally went opposite of what we were supposed to do. So, now I'm going to show you.
Jennifer has a set route she does every morning going to work. After she gets up and gets ready between 7:30 and 7:45, she would walk out of the room. I don't even know where I got that from. I'm making up my own story. I'm making up my own story now. I think you made me nervous just staring at me.
Sorry, I won't stare.
After she gets up and gets ready, but
pull it together. Breathe in, breathe out. Oh,
okay, hold on a second. Let me distract myself for a minute, and then I can get back on track. Thank you for listening to The Crimes We're Into. Make sure to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review.
That's a huge way to help us grow. You can also find us on
Facebook
at the TCWI Discussion Group,
Instagram
at TCWI_podcast_,
our website
at thecrimeswereinto.com,
and our Patreon page,
which is patreon.com/thecrimeswereinto.com, or you can use our link through our website or in the show notes. We have our $1 plan, which is Team Leslie versus Team Tamara.
So show us who you love.
Support me, not her.
Or me. Or if you love both of us,
both. Then we also have our $5 TCWI Crimesters, which will get you bonus episodes, merch items, tons of goodness. Then we have our $15 TCWI Obsess, which is going to get you tons of merch, tons of bonus, ad-free episodes, day sooner episodes.
So make sure you show your support, whether it's $1 or $15. If you're totally obsessed with us, we appreciate it way more than you'll ever know.